West Virginia University's School of Public Health kicked off a series of monthly public health dialogues last week. The first explored the socioeconomic reasons for decades of poor health in the state. Panelists included a physician, an investigative journalist, and a policy analyst. Dozens clustered in the hallways of WVU's Health Sciences Center in Morgantown to participate in the first of four events hosted by the School of Public Health. The title, Black Lung and Chemical Spills, 100 Years of Poor Health in West Virginia. The dialogue was designed to explore our history and what we can change to improve social, economic, and health outcomes in the future. One panelist, Dr. Stephen Wolfe, is the director of the Center on Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University. His research most recently explores social determinants of health. He brought a national perspective on West Virginia's health disparities.
I had the opportunity to chair a National Research Council panel that compared the health of Americans with people in 16 peer countries. And what it shows is that Americans are sicker and die earlier than people in those other countries. And that's been going on since 1980, perhaps earlier, and it's getting progressively worse, the disparity in life expectancy and health between us and other countries.
And Wolf says it's not just the impoverished communities who are worse off.
Clearly it's worse for the poor and minorities, but we studied rich Americans and found that they die earlier than rich people in other countries. Whites die earlier than whites in other countries. College-educated Americans die earlier than college-educated people in other countries. There's something systemic going on in our society because of these social and economic problems that affects all classes.
We're in this together, Wolf said. His comments are echoed by another panelist, Ted Bettner, executive director of a policy think tank based in Charleston, the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy. Bettner also offered ideas about which disparities are most critical to address, namely supporting young families, many of which are caught in impoverished, chaotic cycles.
I think dealing with early intervention and early childhood programs is the best place that we can put our resources. We're not doing enough compared to other states, and we need to do a tremendous amount to turn that around.
Since the 90s, research on ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences, has shed light on how stressful childhood experiences like divorce, temporary abandonment, poor nutrition, and chaotic home and neighborhood life in general can have lasting negative impacts. Obesity, dependency and addiction problems, stroke, emphysema. Dr. Wolf says more recent research is proving how this toxic stress renders children significantly more likely to develop these problems.
Being exposed to that toxic stress actually causes biologic changes in the developing bodies of young people. This is a time where the brain is developing, and it causes permanent changes in the nervous system and the development of the brain that causes changes in behavior, greater need for dependency and addiction in order to cope, and changes in the immune system and the physiology of end organs that actually set the body on a course for adult diseases like diabetes and heart disease.
Bettner reports, in West Virginia, investing in early childhood intervention programs is something groups in the state are working on expanding, and that's likely to have major payoffs in terms of decreasing rates of incarceration, teen pregnancy, and other indications of poor health in our communities and economy.
If you leave it up just to the legislators, it's probably not going to happen because kids can't write campaign checks. Kids cannot vote.
He contends communities and faith and business leaders collaborating to find and enact solutions that fit each region's needs is how we will overcome challenges we continue to face. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.